This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to another Wednesday with Vic and Em.
It's Vic and Em's Radio Gems.
Emily, no.
Come on, it's a comedy show.
All right, fine.
It's Vic and Em's Radio Gems.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. It is that time of the week again. It is time for Vic and Em. Hello, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tresidder.
Hello. What a treat. We are back another Wednesday evening with Vic and Em this week, Vicky Hanlon. Mm-hmm. I am so excited.
It's very exciting.
We have one of my favorite comedians ever. We have the wonderful Kirsty Wiebeck.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for having me.
You are most
welcome. Really hyped you up there, and then you came in real not hyped.
You remembered you talking to Wiebeck, right?
No, I was too flattered. It made me low key.
Yeah, fair.
One
That's
of
what I do to most
favorite comedians. Oh God, how do I live up to that?
Why are you saying this?
Yeah. I just walked away.
I can't deal with this pressure.
It is a pleasure to have you here, Kirsty. What's been happening? How's life in ISO for you?
It's been okay. Hey, I don't think I had a huge lifestyle change. I know a lot of people have been joking about like, oh, I was, you know, social distancing before it was cool and whatever. Mm-hmm. Which I don't really relate to that facet of it, but like the thing is that because I work as a comedian, I'm used to hanging out by myself all day.
Sure.
Because my mates are all at work, my partner's at work. I'm used to hanging out and just waiting to go to a gig at night. Probably the biggest difference is not traveling.
Yeah, right.
In the last couple of years I've been traveling a lot. So that's the main thing. But I think it was quite good in that I didn't have to adapt to working from home by myself, which a lot of my mates did.
Yes. Totally.
They were so used to going into an office and having that social facet to their work. And then So they were struggling not only with having to change how they socialised, but also how they worked. Whereas for me, it was more that my social life changed dramatically. And obviously the live performance part of stand-up changed dramatically. But my actual like day-to-day is really quite similar to what it used to be.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that's
nice,
I guess.
I guess. You're saying you don't have to, I mean, obviously you were traveling a lot, but in terms of like inner Melbourne gigs, the most annoying part I feel like of any gig is just getting there and getting home. So you've just eliminated that. You know, you don't have to worry about late night public transport. You're like, F*** it, I'm already here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like I'm doing a lot of stuff online at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so it's so nice to just like wander from the lounge, maybe like 5 meters up the corridor into where my desk is and to sit down and then do my gig for the night. And then just like wander back up the hall in my slippers and go to bed.
Well, love that. In that respect, we haven't spoken to anyone yet who's done any of like a Zoom gig or anything like that. You've done a few of those now, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How have they been? I'm very curious. I haven't sat in on any of them to see what the sort of vibe is like, but have they been okay?
Yeah. I mean, they're interesting. I've done a few for corporates lately.
Sure.
They're definitely different. Like, of course they're different. Even if for a couple of them they've had people unmuted and I've been able to see them on the screens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lag because so many people are on the internet at the moment that, you know, the speeds are so slow that if anyone does want to chime in, you're usually onto your next thought.
Yeah.
And so you've got to barrel through, like you can't do any sort of crowd work or anything, or you'd be like, oh hey, what was that, sorry, what joke was that about?
Yeah, then it's clumsy.
yeah, exactly. So you just barrel on through. But I've done a couple now where they actually muted everybody and it was only like the event organizer who was visible on my screen.
So you're just kind of performing to yourself.
Yeah, very much so. Like, it was just my head, like, bobbing around in front of me.
And I mean, like, I'd love that personally.
I was talking away, and I was like, you just get really fixated on yourself when you have to stare at yourself talking. And I was like, oh, I'm just like in the middle of a bit, and I'm just looking, and I'm like, does everyone's mouth move like that? Like, have I got a funny mouth? I think I've got a funny mouth.
Especially when you know your gear so well that you're literally like not even, you know, it's like autopilot almost, not exactly, but you're literally saying words, but you're having an internal monologue that's completely different.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, when was the last time I showered?
He's me genuinely thinking, when was the last time I know?
yeah. We're all like, oh, it's been 2 days for me. So yeah, they've been different, but they're interesting. And I kind of like adapting to new ways of working.
Yeah.
And sure. I think I sort of compartmentalize things. So I'm like, I'm doing this gig on Zoom in my capacity as a stand-up. My objective is to make these people happy and to give them a laugh, but it's a different experience to doing a stand-up gig on stage. Yeah, so how do I make this cool, and like how do I adapt to this, and how do I make it funnier, and, you know, like what facets of my usual stand-up comedy will work in this format, and what do I need to axe, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so totally. I find the whole thing really interesting and also quite helpful because it means I'm not entirely unemployed.
Yeah, totally. In that respect, super cool. Yeah. Very
also,
good.
I think investigating a new breed of stand-up comedy, which is not necessarily dependent on getting that room full of laughter, is a super interesting idea to think about, and also one that, you know, a lot of people, including yourself, have to lean into at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been thinking about what ramifications that might have moving forward, even beyond COVID and when we can get back to actually performing on stage. Like, I've been thinking a lot about how there's plenty of people who, for whatever reason, can't go out or don't want to, or maybe they're completely unable to, like maybe you know, they've got children that they need to look after, or, you know, maybe it's a disability, or, you know, there's just so many different people and their circumstances that would mean that they wouldn't attend a comedy club.
Yeah,
totally.
And it's sort of just made me think, oh, this is actually a really interesting exercise in accessibility as well.
Yeah, and especially there is, most comedy rooms, especially in Melbourne, are not accessible.
Right.
Like, they really are not. Like, even if it's just a staircase or whatever, like the basics of accessibility, and there's no lift.
Mm. Yeah, like, well, that's exactly right. And that's always been a major concern of mine. Like, my old venue that I used to do the comedy festival at, obviously, like, before all the COVID stuff, that venue fell through.
Mm. Yeah, which is the same venue that I run my room at.
Exactly.
Great, and because it now has a lift.
That's exactly right.
So good. And
yeah, a massive, like, a huge, like, tick for me when I was looking for venues. And then the venue that I had to move to was, like, so great in so many ways, but up 2 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And then because it all happened, you know, so close to Comedy Festival, I was trying to find an accessible venue to put on an extra show at.
Yeah.
But, of course, they were all booked up. Mm-hmm. And it was something that really deeply troubled me, the fact that I had people that wanted to attend my show and have done so in the past.
And weren't going
to
be
able
to.
And I had to go back to them. Exactly. Yeah. And you've got to be like, no, do you know what? You can't attend this show, and this is the reason why. Like, it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Vic and I have spoken to some other guests and between ourselves about how this situation has really meant that a lot of us have had to, like, morph into, like, more technology savvy, or, you know, like you're saying, you have to sort of adapt to doing live performance via Zoom or, like, online and stuff.
Mm.
It's really interesting to think that perhaps moving forward, we're going to be able to take these skills that we've acquired throughout this time of literally necessity having to do it like this, yeah. to be able to then use these skills in the future to really make stuff more accessible, make it more like, I guess accessible is the main word. Yeah.
Because this really is the problem that I have, like the dynamic that's going on in my head as a room runner and as someone who wants to be like have those rooms accessible to people that can't access them, is that if you started live streaming all of your gigs, maybe no one comes to the venue. Maybe you just have an empty room. But at the same time, I would love to have those things available for people that actually can't come to the room. So it's those two things that I have to kind of weigh up in my head that scares me as a room runner, that maybe just people will stop coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, that's definitely something that you'd consider. I think there's enough people that are genuinely real stand-up fans.
Yeah. Well, that's the hope that people...
that the crowd's a very important part of the performance art as well.
Yeah.
Who, like, care about the rooms and how they're run and the vibe in a gig, that if they were able to, I think it would be their preference still to attend them.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah. You would I hope so. I'm speculating, obviously.
Totally. Yeah. You're listening to Joy 94.9. It is Vic and Em. We are chatting to the fantastic comedian Kirsty Wiebeck. We have really just had a wonderful chat about some really important things, actually. So I'm glad that we've made time for the important things. But Kirsty, I have a very important question.
Yeah.
Have you developed a new hobby in these times?
Do you mean other than harassing my new cat?
Ooh, you got a new cat.
Yes, I love that. That's a perfect hobby.
Yeah, so just before things went like proper, you know, stay at home and leave everyone alone, my partner and I adopted a cat from a friend of a friend who had to move overseas and couldn't take her. And her name's Fergie. And
love. She has her own theme song, Fergalicious. Yeah.
She knows it as well. She's so sassy. Like,
love that.
You have to. You've got to live arrogance. Up to that name.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got the arrogance of a cat that knows she has her own theme song.
I think that's just most cats, though, isn't it? I think all cats think they have their own theme song, right?
Oh, yeah. Look, cats can be very sassy. They absolutely can. I mean, Fergie's serving up a level of sass that I haven't encountered in a pet cat before.
Amazing.
But, yeah, she's so great. And it's so interesting. I was talking to a friend yesterday about how funny it is that, like, cats in particular, most of them keep to themselves all day, or they sleep for 70% of the time. You know, like, that's the actual scientific number of how much they sleep.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, I actually thought it would be higher. But, there's this weird comfort in having her just fanging around on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
All day.
I don't have a pet, and I completely understand that. I would just love to have just something here I could just, you know, pat and just sit next to.
Just something breathing near you gives you a real sense of.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so weird, but it's a fact. Like, she sleeps 70% of the time, and I feel like my life has improved by 70% having her around.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's beautiful.
That's so nice.
It's cute. So that's the main hobby that I've developed is hanging out with Ferg, and I've probably been trying to read more than usual. I have also been trying to read more.
What do you mean by trying? Do you mean like you pick the book up and you're like, oh, today's gonna be the day?
Yeah.
But then you put it down, or like, what? How do you try?
Pretty much, Emily. You got it in one.
I have four books on the go, and I think, like, I've got really firm opinions on the internet having diminished our attention spans.
Oh, I am a firm believer, as I'm a victim of this.
Yeah, I'm absolutely way up there in terms of victimhood for the internet wrecking my brain.
Yep.
So I'm trying to train my brain to be able to sit down and enjoy a book and get immersed in it, which is something that used to like come to me with great ease when I was a child.
Same, yeah. I was a prolific reader as a
same.
Yeah, like all through up until uni-ish time, I reckon. Uni kind of killed reading.
You had to do it, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of killed it a little bit for me, but like I was still reading after that, and then the last say 5 to 10 years I just haven't been able to.
Yeah, it's like if it's not in meme format or 120 characters or less, like I just
pretty much
it just won't grab me.
Yep.
So yeah, I've been putting aside time to get back, and like books are incredible, and I've read some really great a bit of wisdom.
What
from
a what amazing a hot take from Kirsty Wiebeck. Books are incredible.
That's the pull quote from Liz.
Books are incredible. Sorry, I didn't mean to come on your show and be all deep and But I mean, I've read some rippers lately, and it's not the fact that books have gotten rubbish, it's that my brain has gotten rubbish.
Yeah, that is absolutely the same as me. I've been trying to read books from that I had on my want to read list since I was a teenager and just never got around to it. And I started and have apparently, because I'm reading on a Kindle and I know I'm 90% of the way through this book, and then I haven't picked it up for about 2 weeks. I was like, you've literally got 10%. You could just finish it.
Yeah, I love that the Kindle eggs you on in percentages well.
You're almost there.
You're so close.
This is a marathon, not a sprint. I don't know how you can read four books at once, though, Kirsty. That I'd be so confused. I'd pick up one book and then 2 days later I'd pick up another book and I'd be like, wait a minute, well, wasn't this guy on Mars last week?
Kirsty did say she was compartmentalising before. I think that that's
true. So.
And I think that buys into the attention span issue.
Like, oh, yeah.
I frequently, like in my 20s, I frequently had two books on the go.
Yeah, I can do two. I think more than two is maybe pushing it. But
yeah, I think the four is I also bought a couple, like just before we went into shutdown mode. I did travel a little bit and I found two great books in two great op shops on a couple of different missions I was on. And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to read this book, so I'll get it. And then I was like, oh, I'll just read a couple of pages. And then one thing led to another and I was like two chapters deep.
Mm-hmm.
But I was already reading a book when I got home.
Yep.
And so I put them into the rotation. And like now I just have absolutely no idea who's who and what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I assumed that's what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't know Genghis Khan was in Harry Potter.
You're like almost doing a choose your own adventure by just picking which book you're going to read today to finish
the
story.
That's a good
And I'm so confused. And that reminds me of years ago when I read The Life of Pi, which was a really great book. At the end of my book, now I have no idea how this happened and let's not delve into it too much, but two pages were stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And they were crucial pages.
Oh no!
Like they were literally the pages that told you what had been up in the whole book.
Oh god!
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, and so I finished the book, and I was like, "Ah, oh, there are a lot of loose ends.
This is rubbish."
And these people saying this is an amazing book. I mean, it was fine, but there was nothing that happened.
Exactly. And it was at the time that the book had come out, so there was a lot of hype around it.
Yeah.
And my mates were all talking about it. And I was like, do you know what? Like, the ending just didn't do it for me. Like, I just had more questions than answers. And then eventually my housemate, like, mentioned something. And I was like, what?
What?
And then I went back to the book and realised that these pages had been stuck together.
Oh, God.
And I was just wandering around going, oh, they could have wrapped it up.
Incredible.
That's amazing. I can't imagine living any more of your life with that experience than you did. Like, okay, a couple of weeks, sure. But imagine if like still to this day you were like, Life of Pi, rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. The ending, a joke.
I've got no idea what happened.
You watched the movie and you're like, well, they took some liberties with the ending in the movie. It's weird.
I wonder if the author approved that.
That's amazing. Speaking of amazing, Vic and Em on Joy 94.9 chatting to the wonderful Kirsty Wiebeck.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsty, you've also been doing a lot of Instagram content recently, some live Instagrams.
Mm-hmm.
With some friends. Yes. How's that been?
Oh, that's been super fun. Yeah? A few of my mates have gotten into Instagram living as just a way to stay connected, I guess, to their fans and also their mates. And then for me, I got really into video chats because I needed something to give to people on my Patreon.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And yep.
That's very honest. I like that.
Yep. We may or may not have done the same thing.
Yeah. I was like, these legends have decided to support me when all of my work was dried up. What could I do for them that might be super cool and mm-hmm. exclusively for them? So I started doing video chats with, mates and people in the industry who, I think are really great or interesting or whatever. And, mm-hmm. yeah, they've been really fun. I started to really look forward to recording them and, just having chats with people and, catching up. And I've had some really cool people in the last few weeks. Last week I had an hour-long chat with Denise Scott, which was super
beautiful.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really fun. And, I mean, she's the best ever anyway. So, that was great.
She's very good.
Yeah, she's so good. And I've had chats with Cal Wilson and Geraldine Hickey, and I've got some ripper guests coming up in the next few weeks. So they've been really fun.
I think Instagram Live is awesome because you can get the comments and stuff from people literally as you go.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's a nice interactive way. It's literally a little banter back and forth. I've watched some amazing Instagram lives. Some of my favorite musicians are doing Instagram lives.
Yeah,
so they'll be doing a concert and they'll be like, what do you want me to play? And you'll be like, oh my God, play this song. And they do it. Awesome. I watched another friend of mine who's a quite an infamous beatboxer, and he was teaching people from all over the world how to beatbox. So one at a time, he would get a person from Malaysia and then a person from the US and then a person from the UK, and he'd be like, okay, you want to do a trumpet? I'll show you how to do a trumpet. Or you want to do this? And
That's
it was
so
all
cool.
on this Instagram. It was so cool.
I
just love the way that Instagram Live allows you to be really interactive as well as, having a nice chat with your friend. People can see it. People can get involved in that. It feels very nice and community.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I had a really great chat with Cal Wilson last week on Instagram Live, and it spiraled out of control. And
as all the best chats do.
Totally. Yeah, and we're particularly terrible at going off on tangents and then getting back on track. And our Instagram Live ended up going for 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Amazing.
Wow.
Incredible.
We were like, that's too much.
That was maybe too long.
But this is going to sound so sassy as a response to that. But the other thing about Instagram Live is you can come in and out.
That's true.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's perfect for that. And that's exactly what people did. And, you could have left that chat at the 50-minute mark and come back at the hour and 50-minute mark, and we still would have been talking about the same thing.
Beautiful.
And you would have missed nothing.
Perfect.
And that goes back to the attention span thing again, doesn't it? Where you
100%.
Just find yourself hopping through Instagram Live chats.
Totally.
Yes. Yeah. It's brilliant for that. One last thing that I wanted to talk to you about was you did an actual go-to-a-gig as well.
I did.
How was that?
It was a mind-blowing experience, actually.
Yeah.
It was so incredibly run. It was run by a bunch of legends who work in the event sector in audio, visual, in that sort of domain, servicing major festivals around the country.
Yeah.
And then it was run by Simon Hughes, who runs Kings of Comedy in Melbourne.
Yep.
And so we rocked up and it was all super professionally run, very COVID social distancing friendly. People were going into the venue in waves.
Yeah.
And it was all coordinated by a stage manager running people up and down the stairs, getting people out so the next people could get in.
Amazing.
Hand sanitizer. Everyone had their own
microphone,
mic stand and microphone. The MC was going onto the stage around the other side, and then we were coming up this way, and it was incredible. And the equipment they had, they even had a massive digital screen behind the stage, which was the red curtains.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Yeah, and there were monitors on the back wall, and they'd sold some online tickets where they were the actual studio audience. So you could see the people in the lounge rooms on the wall.
That's great.
Yeah. And again, like we were talking about before with the Zoom gigs, there was a bit of a lag, so it was best to just power on through. But
yeah. But you'd be able to see them laughing, you know, 10 seconds later and be like, oh, they loved that last
joke.
Yeah. I nailed something. I don't know what it was, but I nailed something.
Was it the riff or the actual joke? I don't know. Amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, and the quality, when I looked at it on YouTube later, like it was like television broadcast quality, the actual.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, it was amazing. Just seeing that technology at work was like, whoa, this is cool. This is really interesting.
Mm. So good.
Yeah.
Speaking of technology, as we've been saying all show, Kirsty Webeck is all over the internet at the moment. You can see Insta Lives, you can see her Patreon, you can see her Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. So do follow Kirsty.
Do you have a website that people can check all that stuff out on?
Yeah, I'm just at www.kirstywebeck.com.
Keeping it easy.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. So you can check out more of Kirsty's stuff there. Kirsty, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you during this time and just generally because we love you.
Yeah, it's true.
Ditto. Thanks, legends.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This was Vic and M with Kirsty Webeck.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.